And let's make our way to our seats as quickly as we can. Can we honour Pastor Brian Houston for an incredible... Have you got a microphone? Hey, give me your mic. And in this session, what we're going to do is we're going to just take a few minutes and just ask Pastor Brian some questions about life and leadership and ministry. And so I just want to say on behalf of all of us, Pastor Brian, you coming has just been a highlight for everybody. And we're just so glad you're here. How many love this man of God? Aren't we blessed? It makes me proud to be Australian, but it is just such an honour to have him. I've loved Pastor Brian since I was just a young fella and watched him just be a legend and always wanted to be like him and build a church. And I said last night to our church, we're better. All of us pastors, we're all better because of Pastor Brian and Pastor Bobby Houston and Hillsong. I want to honour him this morning. Can we do that? And give him a big God bless you. I tell you. One thing that a lot of people have said, that Hillsong has an amazing way of reinventing itself. And it seems like you're intentional about that and keeping the church fresh and ahead of the curve. What sort of things would you guys do over there to keep doing that?
I think, just really encourage innovation.
Yep.
And creativity. But to me, the thing I'm most intentional about is young people. Like, I think... I want to live my life more loyal to the future than I am to the past.
Wow.
So you honour the past, but really I'm very intentional about equipping and releasing young people, very intentional about having young people on the platform,
yeah.
Young people in key roles in church. And as I said earlier, I don't want what I consider young to keep getting older with me, because people gave me a go when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
I remember Dave Cartledge. Many of you remember David Cartledge, and I mean, I was green as green as green. And he actually did this to me twice. One time he was supposed to be having Bob Mumford come to his church, and Bob Mumford got sick and had to cancel. So I'm in my 20s and he calls me up there. I was so out of my depth. But I think about it because he was a guy who just trusted young people. And then they were going to have in their Queensland conference Benny Hinn speak. And I don't know what went wrong, but Benny cancelled. So he calls me. So, you know, all these pastors... I'm not me now, I'm me then. I'm like 20, maybe let's say I was 31.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been any older. And I have felt so, you know, bad because all these guys expecting Benny Hinn. And instead of that, they get some, you know, some guy. I hadn't even started our church then.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is when I worked for my dad. And so I want to be like that. I want to trust young people. But I think, anyway, you reinvent yourself when you you just really keep thinking younger. And most people, we try to make changes when it's too late. You know, it's like the curve. Like, if you start losing momentum and you try and make changes when you've already gone over the curve and it's going this way, it's too late. You know, you're going to do that before you do that. The idea is to make it before you hit the peak.
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, if I'm thinking about reinventing young people, Darlene and Mark, they went, how many years ago, 3 years ago, and pastored their own church. But Hillsong United... breaking records we have never broken in the past.
Wow.
I don't mean breaking records as in albums, but I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happened with, and is happening with Hillsong United. And now Young and Free, they're just our, because the Hillsong United guys were our youth band, but they're all fathers and, you know, mothers now, except for Taya. But so Young and Free is another generation. So in that sense, just being intentional.
That's so fantastic. And so through Instagram and social media and watching you and Pastor Bobby, it's pretty evident that you guys have a great marriage and a great family. And what would be some of the things that maybe you've kept as values that have kept you guys being such a positive influence in marriage and your three kids serving God in ministry? What would be some of the things that maybe you've done right that worked out?
Oh, man, with children, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we all know the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and they'll not depart from it. But I think about my brother and I, because we grew up not only in the same family. He was 2 years older than me. He's 63 now. We grew up in the same bedroom. And so we had exactly the same environment, exactly the same background. When he was 14 or 15, he kind of went with one set of friends and really sort of drifted out of church life then. And is still out of church life to this day. I grew up in exactly the same family. All I ever wanted to do was preach and be like my father, you know. And so to me, one thing, I never condemn people over their kids. Because the truth is that God made us with a free will. And you can be the best parents and one of your children, you know, lose their faith or backslide. And someone else, they can be awful parents and their kids love the Lord and go on for God, you know. And so I never, ever judge people on their children. I just pray for people and pray for their kids because I believe in them. But I think for marriage, you know, one of the greatest opportunities we have, like I said, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. And the most unifying thing I think that there is having a family who are committed to a common cause. And if Bobby and I have been unified around that common cause and around that vision and tried to do it in a way where it's created inspiration for our kids and family. All three of our kids have had their moments. All three of them had their time when they could have gone either way and possibly did go further in one way than I even realized to this day. In other words, they're not perfect kids, but by God's grace, they all had their own revelation of Jesus at some point and are serving God today. So it's awesome.
It's amazing. And in all of that, I would probably say on behalf of all of us, even watching TV last year and seeing you deal with the Royal Commission and deal with the media, and we think you're a hero and you're a legend, and we're so behind it, Hillsong. But how do you walk through that storm and stay saved? That's the way. Yep, this one.
Stay saved.
Stay.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about the Royal.
Who knows? Say whatever you like.
I'll tell you one thing about the Royal Commission. The Royal Commission's not over yet. So the findings haven't come out yet for the Australian Christian churches in general, and obviously for me and Hillsong. And it was not a great experience, not at all. It was difficult because it is my own father that we're talking about. And even now to this day, when I start talking about it, I can hear my own voice change and so on. But it's certainly not over for them, and it's not over for me. And so I just really appreciate your prayers on the whole thing. The big thing is that I didn't tell the police. So I did tell our church board, I did tell the executive of the Assemblies of God, I did tell the church, I told everyone, I just didn't tell the police. And for 15 years, not one soul told me I needed to tell the police, because the complainant was 37. The first complaint was, he was 37 years old, and he's going, I don't want the police to know. And so he didn't want any authorities involved. If it was in Victoria, I wouldn't have had to tell the police. If it was in Queensland, I wouldn't have had to tell the police. If it was in New Zealand, I wouldn't have had to tell the police when it's an adult, because otherwise the thinking is that it victims won't come out, survivors won't come out if they feel like authorities are going to get involved because they've got some shame and so on. But in New South Wales, it turns out it's a law that I should have told the police. And so the potential is that I will get reported to the police. So that's where I would really need your prayer. And it was a difficult experience. I genuinely believe now, even now, that I did my best at the time. And I thought that we'd done everything really well. So, you know, when the Royal Commission sort of knocked at our door, I'm thinking, well, I can't see. I think we're going to be fine because, you know, he never ever preached again, and he didn't. They reckon he did, but he actually didn't. He never ever preached again, and I thought we'd done everything really well, but it turns out I didn't get encouraged over one thing that we did. I guess that's not what their job is. So I'd have to say, the Royal Commission, the Royal Commission. You know, I love the idea that it's all about, you know, identifying institutional child abuse and hopefully rectifying it and putting the right procedures in place. I love all that side of it, but I am very disenchanted with the process, because the process, I don't think it was a fair hearing at all. I really don't. So I've actually written a book, so excuse me for making this into an advert, called Live, Love, Lead. And this book, it's HarperCollins here in Australia are publishing it, and it's coming out at the Hillsong Conference in Australia. And in America, it's been published by big New York publishers called Hachette, and they have a division called Faith Words. And so, you know, it's a pretty significant project, and I've been really honest in this book. So I tell a lot of my story, but talk a bit about my dad, the worst day of my life, and just that whole experience. And then the emotional slide I went through, which if any of the women here were at Colour, I talked about at the Colour conference, because I, after that, went through 10 years of exploding outwardly, our ministry, but imploding inwardly. So I won't talk too much about that right now, but live lovely.
Wow. And one of the things that I do want to ask you is why would a church like yours, being as significant as it is, why would you see it as important as being part of the ACC or being part of the movement? Is there any, why would Hillsong want to be part of the ACC?
Well, you know, I've been part of the Assemblies of God since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
In New Zealand. And so I've always loved what we're a part of. And even when I was young, I was a little bit rebellious, you know, like I wanted to see change, and I was the kind of guy who could see everything that I think should have been done differently, like most young people are. And but, you know, some people, they make the silly mistake of going the other way and busting out of something, whereas I just made the decision to keep serving until I got to the point where I could do something about it.
Yeah, wow.
And so since I handed over. Look, I would be part of the Australian Christian churches as long as it's visionary, it's pointed forwards, yeah. It's not full of cunt, you know, it's not like just a, you know, anyway. I'm committed to it.
Yeah.
I am committed to it. We don't need it per se.
Yeah.
But nor does anyone else, in a sense. I mean, it's a choice. Yeah. And if something's worth belonging to, it's worth belonging
yeah,
to.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we, you know, Joel and Donna are on the national executive. Yeah. One of our campus pastors is the assistant superintendent in our state, assistant president. We've got people on the Australian, you know, whatever it's called, the finance part, Australian Christian Services, is it?
Yeah.
We've got guys who are on the board of that. We've got guys in all areas of the movement. And so I feel like we've got something to offer.
That's awesome.
And so hopefully we do.
Fantastic.
But it costs us a lot of money.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. It does. Others may not appreciate me telling you this, but I think probably, well, not probably, definitely more than probably 10 to 15% of all the Jews in Australia come from our church.
So we really would like you to stay, if you wouldn't mind. That would be... So that'd be a good help. And I remember one time one of my friends asked you, he said, how do you, what's the key to doing this? And I remember you said to us, you got to take responsibility for your own spirit. And when you talk about that, like, what does that look like practically for you?
Yeah, when I was in Bible college, I've told this 1,000 times, when I was in Bible college, Lloyd Averill was our principal. And Edith Averill, his wife. So she one time was talking to the students in New Zealand. She says, no matter what happens to you in life, no matter who says things about, no matter, you know, what people say, no matter what people do, never develop a wounded spirit. And it's a funny thing, because for whatever reason, that little phrase stuck with me, never develop a wounded spirit, and I've committed to it. And I have a commitment that no one is going to rule my spirit in a negative way.
Right.
But that's a choice. And there's no doubt it sometimes has been a process, because sometimes in ministry people do hurt us, or we perceive that people hurt us, and it does have its disappointments with people. And I've learned that, you know, the great majority of people, they're going to stick with you and stay with you and love you, but I've also learned not all your sons will stay with you. And I don't mean they'll move geographically, because people can move geographically, but they're still with you, you know. I'm talking about the ones who it's hurtful. They basically break out, and it's not pleasant. And so sometimes it might take a year or 2 years, but I can honestly say that there's not one person on earth right now who I go to bed at night with, in the wrong sense, you know, my spirit filled up with them, yeah. And angry. Not one soul rules me like that, but that is a choice. I've coined a phrase, no mature Christian who is seasoned in the Word has any reasonable excuse to live their life offended. And I genuinely believe that.
Come on.
Jesus told us offenses would come. So there's no doubt about it. Offenses would come. But it's one thing being offended and staying offended. Staying offended is a choice. And you only hurt one person, and it's never the person who offended you.
Yeah.
You only ever hurt yourself.
That's incredible. So what sort of role does Pastor Bobby play in the whole of Hillsong? What is she?
She's the boss.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I'm only here because she said I could come.
She did?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad.
You know, Bobby and I, we've never ever had to sort of sit down and try and work out our roles as senior pastors together. Yeah. Because the truth is, people know that I lead the church, and she works right alongside me.
Yeah.
And Bobby's never tried to be me, you know what I mean? She's just really comfortable to be her. Yeah. But our church would not be what it is if it wasn't for Bobby, because I am the kind of leader, the gung-ho guy, and she's obviously very feminine and very, you know, and I think she brings that to our church. And so together, I think it's the whole package that has helped our church to be. You can have a gung-ho leader,
yeah,
but, you know, if the partner, the wife, is not sort of bringing to the table something that broadens and strengthens that, then it's going to, you know, minimize your impact.
Yeah.
So I feel like Bobby, if you want to talk about the Bible's word, help, you know, help me.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby is the perfect ally for me in broadening, you know, the persona of our church.
Wow, that's awesome. So I guess, and I'm...
I mean, she loves words.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, headlines guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby, she loves words. She'll just keep on, you know.
Yep. Hallelujah. I don't want to get in trouble if I laugh. So, at your space in life now, you pretty much, if we asked any pastor in this room who they'd want to have lunch with, they'd probably want to have lunch with you.
I don't believe that.
Well, it's true.
Some would like to have roast dinner.
Look, I'd be happy with both. That'd be but who are probably some of the guys in this season that would still inspire you and you might look to and go, you know, they're just doing great things for God, and even when you're young, guys that inspired you and maybe were like a Brian Houston to you and that really inspired you to do some of the things you're doing.
My greatest role model was my father. I've said that several times. And that's why, obviously, you know, when I was 45 and found out about his past, it was so shattering. And to this day, someone came up to me right between this break right now and said, I just want you to know that your father saved my life and saved my marriage and saved my ministry.
Come on.
And I hear that, I mean, thousands and thousands of times over. At my father's funeral, the email pile was probably that big, no exaggeration. And there wasn't one negative one amongst them. It was all people who he had radically impacted positively, but tragically. He also obviously impacted people I know now in a devastating way, which is heartbreaking. And I think the hardest thing for me is it's hard to honour my father.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to honour my father because it can come across like I'm discounting, you know, his evil past. And, yeah, I find that difficult.
Can I ask this then? Because last night I was thinking about asking this very question. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the, I guess, great things that your dad did in ministry that inspired you, and some, because I'm sure we'd love to hear some of those things that you...
Well, people who remember him as in ministry, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he was I think, I'm probably biased, but I remember growing up thinking he was just the best preacher in the universe. I mean, he was an evangelist, there's no doubt about that. And so, you know, him and I are quite different in some ways, but he was very dynamic, very, very, very funny.
Yeah.
You could hear the same stories over and over again. I must have heard some of those stories 1,000 times, but people are still, you know, falling out laughing at the stories, even though if you went to his church, you might have heard them 1,000 times. You'd still have tears rolling down your face, you know, listening to him tell stories. He was very powerful in the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he's one of these old revivalist guys. Hamilton in New Zealand, he went to Hamilton. There was a tiny little Assemblies of God with 80 people in it when he went to Hamilton in New Zealand, way, way back.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started having meetings, and he went for 6 weeks. Some of those meetings went to 5 o'clock in the morning, praying for people, and, you know, I mean, he was out there casting out demons, whatever, you know, he was just out there. And he would go like that, and by the time it finished, remember, it was from a church of 80 people in a town that didn't, nowadays it's got quite a lot of other Pentecostal churches, but really it had very little then. And he had like 1,500 people coming to these meetings in a town where where there wasn't 1,500 people to come, if wow. that makes sense. So that's the kind of guy he was.
That church
and, of
still
course, he came
today.
To Adelaide. Yep. And again, some of you have been around long enough to remember.
Yeah.
And he had meetings in Klemzig and in, I don't even know where these places are, but Mitchell's Park, I think. And yeah, and all over. And same sort of thing. He just basically had a revival spirit. And he brought life to all of those yeah. churches. And so, that you know, he was my role model 100%.
Yeah.
And, I, you know, it's just, it's hard to talk about.
Sure.
Really is.
I'm glad you did, because you know I'm sure it shaped probably how you think and how you operate. In ministry today, what would be some of the guys that would be some of your best friends or guys that you're doing life with and ministry with?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and it's a funny thing because at different stages in my ministry, there's been different people I looked up to.
We've become quite close.
And. And I,
sorry.
I love him. I heard he's awesome. It's hard to say now, well, that's one person, but there's a whole lot of different people who inspire me in different ways.
Yeah.
And not all of them are people doing big worldwide things. Some of them are people who, what they're doing is much more insignificant, but it's just inspiring. I've tried to always be the guy who doesn't go in just telling.
Yeah.
You know, I find there's two types of pastors. There's the ones who just, they're just telling you about themselves the whole time. They don't ask you anything. They're just telling. We're doing this and we've done that and I'm doing this and where. And there's others, and they just ask. And I would encourage everyone to don't be the guy who's always telling. Be the guy who's asking. Because I, even coming here, like I look at everything in a way where, hopefully I'm learning and gleaning because I'm nosy. I'm inquisitive by nature. My brothers and sisters when I was young, they used to always tell me I was nosy. Like, I am a people watcher. I am the guy who sits in the corner in a cafe and just watches everybody and listens to the conversation right next to me. You know, holds a glass up so I can hear it. I love people and I just want to live my life always learning. So I'm waffling on, but I
awesome.
I get inspired by a lot of different people
yeah.
in different ways.
Fantastic. And so what would you say, I mean, I guess it's how long's a piece of string, but what do you see for Hillsong in the next season? And do you think Hillsong Mount Gambier is still going to happen? Is that still part of the plan?
Who told you about that?
Oh, Joel.
Hey, if you're from Mount Gambier, that's a lie,
yeah.
all right? Just so you know. Yeah. You know what? It's a funny thing because I've never thought that way.
Yeah.
I've never been the kind of guy who's had a strategy board and this is our strategy and this is what we're going to do by then and this is what we're going to... Joel Abell's wired that way a bit more and he's definitely got his 2020 vision and so on. All I've done is tried to make sure our church stays healthy
yeah.
and make sure that we're going forwards.
Yeah.
So I just look at everything compared with where we were a year ago and if it's going in the wrong direction... I address it. But if everything's going forward, some seasons are better than other seasons.
Yeah.
And of course, in church life, like overall in our church, we just sort of rumble along and keep growing and moving forward. And we're well ahead this year where we were the same time last
yeah.
year across most of our church. But there's always some area in church life that's challenging. And you know, one thing about our church, because of its intricacies nowadays, we're not just a big church. We're actually a big church with small congregations as well. We have extensions, so we're a big church and a small church.
Yeah, wow.
And so you can't just take on a big church mindset when you're dealing with,
wow.
you know, sometimes
yeah.
some parts of our church are small. And so, but we're, by God's grace, all of our churches all around the world, and there's only 13, it'll soon be 15 of them.
How many services?
Well, 59 in Australia.
Wow.
So 59 services in Australia, but 59? But, you know, I couldn't even tell you around the world. So there's 15, but some of them are multi-campus.
Yeah.
Some in London these days is soon to be 6 campuses, for example.
London's 15,000 now, isn't that right?
Probably.
Isn't that incredible?
You probably know more than me, but it's certainly thousands. But you know what inspires me is Paris, because you know what France is like.
Yeah.
Paris is, you know, they've been just like quietly working away there in Paris, and they're getting close to 3,000 people every weekend in Paris.
Isn't that amazing?
Which is an absolute miracle.
That's
yeah, it's fantastic.
That's incredible. And so what would your role look like? It's probably changed as you've grown in I guess, the scope of what Hillsong is. What would your day-to-day look like? I guess that's probably very different every day, but what's this season of your life? What do you spend your time doing? And
I spend much more time just focusing on messages and preparing.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing because, you know, people say, how long does it take you to prepare a message? And sometimes I've answered, you know, maybe 10, 12 hours plus 61 years. So, you know, your life becomes a mess. But the funny thing is, there was a time when you only preached to a room. So if there were this many people in the room, that's who you're preaching to. But these days, you're never only preaching to the room.
Yeah, wow.
You know, whether it's television, whether it's live stream, whether it's people on YouTube. So in a sense, you would think after all this time that it would take me less time to prepare. Yeah. But I spend more time preparing than I ever have.
Wow.
And I'm hoping that it shows. I think it does.
I think it does.
Thank you.
I think you're very, very good. Yeah.
I think you are too. I've never actually heard you, but I think you're...
Which is probably a good thing, because most of my messages may have come from his podcast, but just change them a bit, tweak them.
So anyway, it's been incredible. You know, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest, and having others doing what they're doing, and John and Julia carry so much of the load that Bobby and I used to carry.
Yeah.
When it comes to so much of the day-to-day life of our church, and it just really has been, I've been able to lift up my eyes and focus on the much broader perspective, which is obviously Hillsong globally and all of that side.
That's incredible. It may be in a room like this, as pastors, it may feel like their back's against the wall, feel like giving up and going through a tough season right now. Is there anything you'd say to some of the pastors here that may be feeling like just... not quite having a breakthrough or getting what they've been trusting God for?
You know, you're in trouble. I've had days, you know, over all the years where I've just seen a guy mowing lawns on a tractor and you smell the, you know, the beautiful spring or summer fresh grass smell, and I think, I'd love a job like that. Like, your biggest worry is, when will I have to empty the catcher, or will I run out of fuel? And I'm thinking, I'd love a job like that. You know, you're in trouble when you start thinking like that. But I just feel like, you know, if you love God and you love people and you love what you do, somehow you always find the reserve to keep looking forward. The big thing I think all of us need is each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you're all in the room. But there's always people who should be in the room and they're not. And often they're the ones who are struggling. And that's all the more reason why they should be in the room. Because we need each other. And I feel like we should never underestimate community, never make it a competition. You know, to me, I value you not because of how big your church is. I value you because you've leaned into my world. And I believe in you. And so, I just think if you're going through a tough time, have the right people in your world. And sometimes other pastors are not the right people. If it's some negative, cynical old coot, you know, cut that spirit off. It's the last thing you need. It's the last thing you need. Get around the right people and get around, you know, the kind of attitude that encourages you and lifts you. Because ministry has its disappointments. It does.
Yeah.
And you're never, ever immune from it, and you never graduate from it.
Wow.
And so, it's just the way it is.
When you preach in London versus New York or Sydney or wherever, within Hillsong churches, do you feel like they're the same? Do they have the same spirit? How does that look practically?
It looks the same.
Good. Thank you. It's very good. You want to elaborate on that anymore? Or you feel
I tell the guys overseas, in Australia it's different because it's very much campus and, you know, and it's very centrally driven. I tell the guys overseas, look, you know, Hillsong's DNA is the frame. So I'm looking at the screen there. So if you can imagine, that's who we are. So spirit, ethos, that's who we are. But in terms of how, you know, you paint the picture, that's entirely up to you. In other words, if you're at Hillsong London, your framework is our DNA, our spirit, our heart, but you're the one who's got to reach London. So you do it. But it's a funny thing, you know, because, for example, London, way, 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 way back in the early days, there used to be a lot of pressure on, you know, in London, you could do it this way. In London, we like these kind of songs. In London, we do this in London. And Gary Clark never, ever did that. Gary just went to London and just beat Gary Clark and Hillsong. And the funny thing is, people say, that won't work in London, this won't work in London, that won't work in New York, this won't work in New York. But all we do is go in and be us, whether it's in New York, London, or wherever, and it keeps on proving it wrong. That in actual fact, there's already a lot of London churches. Why be another one? There should be who we're called to be in London. And so I think even, you know, here in Australia, same thing, is just be true to who you are and be comfortable in it. We learn and glean from everyone, but don't try to be someone else.
When you've got guys that are in your church, like Carl Lentz, like your son Joel, and other guys who in and of themselves now have incredible global influence in and of themselves, how do you continue to lead them? And
it's not easy.
Okay.
Especially those two.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not easy. I just feel like Carl and Joel, they are unique and God is using them, and they are quite challenging to lead, I'll be honest with you. But I just feel like they've got, you know, if I think of Carl, he's just got this freaky gift on his life. He's afraid of no one. So it can be the most famous person in the world, or it can be the most homeless person in the world, and he has this unbelievable ability to get inside people's worlds and they respond to him. And so, you know, you may, if you know who Carl is, you know, may know already some of the contacts that he has with significant people. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot more that you don't know about that is just crazy. So I see God has given him that gift, and I can go, Brian, thousands, Carl is tens of thousands, and it can be frustrating at times because, you know, I feel like sometimes I've paid all the price and other people are getting all the, you know, all the benefit and the fruit, but I just know that God has called me to release these guys and equip these guys. And so the way I lead them is let them be who God's called them to be.
Wow, that's awesome. We've got to get you to the airport. But I wondered if it's okay, maybe just pray for us before you go and just do whatever you want to do. And if you've got a song you'd like to sing, you'd be welcome to do that as well. Anything, really. But I don't really know how to end these things.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
You really want me to pray for everyone?
Yeah, what do you reckon? Absolutely. Is that all right? Well, lift your hands. Sure. Something.
All right, well, firstly, thanks. Thanks for bringing me down, and thanks everyone for coming out today. And, you know, I genuinely pray for you and really believe God. Really do believe God to bless your work and so on. I love pastors. I love being around pastors. I grew up in a pastor's home. I am a pastor. And nowadays, my kids are pastors' kids, but they're all pastors themselves as well. So it's kind of my world. And, you know, we do all understand some of the challenges that go with it. But one thing I can promise you, you know, like Joel, he's with the Hillsong Network. Like, he's really doing everything he can to help pastors and help churches. And he has these dashboards and these, so I don't even understand it. But there's pastors who lean into it. And so he really is able to give phenomenal input through the network. But part of the process is finding out, you know, It's all about bringing health to your church. So part of it means that people give him details of how many people are in the church or things like that. You know, some people think, I'm not going to give Hillsong all of that. But if you understood our heart, the last thing we judge anyone on is how many or how little people they have. If you understood his heart, all he wants to do is help you to go forwards. And so that's kind of our spirit overall. And there's a lot of other great churches in the country, and I'm always aware of that, and always I'm very aware Hillsong's not everyone's cup of tea, and you know what, I'm totally comfortable with that because God's huge and there's room for a lot of diversity in the church, so I'm totally comfortable with that. But I just love seeing people step into what God's called them to be. And I'm saying I love pastors because I think we do all understand each other's world, and I just really want to see them, you know, go forwards. So thank God for the chance. to do what we do. And look, I know this is brash advert, but in all seriousness, the conference is only 2 weeks away. Maybe you've been many years ago, maybe you haven't been for a while, but everything about that conference is about inspiring and equipping people. And if there's any way you can come, can get there, it's different than every other conference. There's other great conferences, but at this conference, there's what you see on the mass scale. And I love that. I love the celebration. I love what it says to Australia. I mean, they can't work it out. When there's over 20,000 people, you know, at a church conference, it's this is Tourist Board who says this. It's the largest and has been for years annual conference of any kind in Australia. And so I love this that, but it's broken down into masterclasses, workshops, and church life. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And so that's where, you know, we're all about equipping people. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, I thank you for every pastor and leader here. Lord, I just thank you for the work you're doing in their lives and in their church and in their ministry and in their home. Pray for their marriages, Father. Pray for their family. I pray for their kids. Lord, we do believe that you are going to do something fresh and powerful in each and every single one of these churches and ministries. Thank you for all the new life in Adelaide. Thank you, Father, for the churches that have momentum and are going forward. Lord, I just thank you that you're building your church. We get to come along for the ride. And what an honor it is. Father, have your way. I pray the rest of 2015 will be a year of great fruitfulness. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.